All right, by popular demand, we've had some desire for an explanation of the new circle of fifths. So first, I'm going to explain the old circle of fifths. So basically, if you have a circle of fifths here that I've already explained, for example, if you do the key of C or A minor, then you can have C, F, and G, and I won't explain it in the other keys, but here you have, you know, you have C, and then F, and G, and then back to C, and you just play a chord and strum it or arpeggiate it or break it up however you want. I'm trying to keep it simple because the purpose of this is chords, not how to change them into something else. You can add minor chords, like if we did C, you can do F, and then G, you can do A minor, and then F, and then G, C, and there's all kinds of others. You could do A minor, and then F, and then G, and then C, and that's another common one. A minor, F, G, C, and maybe walk down with the beat to the A minor. A lot of times we'll throw in an E, A minor, F, G, E minor, F, G, C. You know, you can head in all kinds of directions. But basically, you know that those are the chords you can use because you look at where they are in the circle of fifths. Now, as I've explained before, if you take the third chord, which is the E in the case of the key of C, you can make that major, and that gives you your harmonic minor from a chord perspective, not just a note perspective, but a chord perspective. You know, so in the key of C, if you play an E major, that's that G being changed to a G sharp makes the E minor into an E major, and now you have a harmonic key by changing the chord, not by changing the note. It's a harmonic scale. Anyhow, E in the key of C, E major in the key of C is harmonic, which means you have the E major and you have the F major half a step apart. So if you have two major chords one half step apart, it sounds harmonic minor. So that's E major, F major, G major, F major, E major. It's all major chords, but it sounds minor because in context that only works if it's harmonic minor. So there you get, enter Zorro, so to speak. So that's a basic overview within the key. Now you can also modulate, which is where you go around, you go outside of the major area, well, not major, but the main area of your key in the circle of fifths. So you can take, you can have C, F, and G, and then maybe E minor, F, A minor, G, C. There we go. Now we just use five of the six main chords. In the key of C, D minor isn't used that much. There's also B diminished, but that's even more. We won't get into that too much. But if I change from C, I can go then maybe to G. I can go to B flat. And now I'm moving outside of my key, and I'm moving more to the right of the circle of fifths. It sounds like I'm moving into the future. We'll go more to the right, and I can play an E flat. It sounds even more into the future. I can play an A minor. It sounds like we're really getting somewhere. Let me move over to E major, which is kind of a skip towards the left side of the G on the circle of fifths, assuming the key of C is our basic key. So we go to E, and it almost sounds like a very early beginning. So I can move to A, and then D, it's a sort of a nice little beginning. Now we're at the dominant fifth G, and back to C, and we've resolved. So you can sort of walk around the circle of fifths and skip. You could play in the key of C, you've got F, but let's do B flat, and now let's switch to A flat. can skip around, but basically if you go to the right on the circle of fifths, it sounds like you're going into the future, more, it's more advanced. If you're in the key of C, for example, you go to the left, you end up playing a D, it almost sounds like a new beginning. And then from D to G back to C, which is where we're at now. So using D in the key of C, is D is called a secondary dominant because G leads to C. That basic progression. That's from G to C. So the 5 leads to the 1. And so if you go to the D, to the G, to the C, instead of the dominant G, you have a secondary dominant, first D, and then G, and then C. Well, this is just all how chords sound, and you can expand on it. I suppose you could do a tertiary dominant. You could do A, and then D, and then G, and then C. And whatever the word is for a fourth level of dominant, you could probably do the E, and then the A, and then the D, and then the G, and then the C. And we could do this all day. But that's basically how the circle of fifths works. If you go from C all the way to F sharp in the key of C, it sounds almost like you're in another world because you're on complete opposite ends. You're so far into the future or into the past, going all the way right or all the way left, you end up from C to F sharp, from C to F sharp, and it sounds like you've warped into a different dimension for that reason, because there's totally opposite. So look in terms of the circle of fifths as it progresses clockwise from C to F to B flat, E flat, A flat, C sharp, F sharp, B, E, A, D, G, and back to C. When it goes in that direction, you're basically moving in forward in time, and if you reverse it, it sounds like you're going backward in time, back to a beginning. So I'll play through the circle of fifths, and you can hear it. C leads to F, F leads to B flat, B flat leads to E flat leads to A flat. And A flat leads to C sharp leads to F sharp leads to B, B leads to E, E leads to A leads to D, D leads to G, and G leads back to C. And that's why it's in the circle that it's in, because 5 leads to 1, and in the key of C, G is the fifth chord. So that's a review of the basic circle of fifths and how the different chords relate to each other in different sounds. For basic ear training, you can do things like listen to the F going to the C and hear what that sounds like. Listen to the C going to the F and hear what that sounds like. And listen to the C going to the G and hear what that sounds like. And you can do all kinds of chord combinations and say, okay, this is 1, 5. So listening from the C chord to the G, which is the 1 to the 5 in the key of C. 1 to 5, and that will do ear training. And you can take the circles and you can change the key and do any key, but all of this has been in the key of C just to understand how things work. You can realign it, basically redraw all the lines I've drawn, but circling G and E instead of C, or G and E minor instead of C and A minor, and everything stays the same, it's just a basic key change. So you can listen to the different progressions and, you know, learn from a G to a D, G to D, and just teach yourself what that sounds like. That's a progression backwards. And then it's easy to sort of recognize what other chords are when you hear a song on the radio or something, because you go, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, I've heard that before. That's G to D, or that's just a step backwards. I'm not sure if that's a G or if that's a D going to an A or an E flat going to a B flat, but I recognize that this, that sound, I know what that is, and I know what this is. Oh, that's two majors next to each other. Teach yourself what they sound like, and you'll be able to pick tunes out of your head and play them instantly. You'll be able to pick tunes off the radio and play them instantly by just playing around with this and seeing how it sounds, and oh, isn't that cool? And that's how to teach yourself to think artistically with music, to compose. I'm not going to give you too many other ways to make it work, because I don't want to inhibit your creativity. I'll let you take it pretty much from there. But that's how the old circle of fifths works. We've had it for hundreds of years, maybe thousands. Well, here's the new circle of fifths. And I've redrawn everything. But if you look at these, basically, in a family, you can draw the keys differently. And for the most part, you've got G, C, and F, but it sort of helps you with modulating a little bit. So you can make D sharp major, G sharp major, C sharp major, and then you can make the F sharp, the B, and the E a little bit more normal. And they're right there, and it's easy to see, and you've actually got every single key. And if you want to do harmonic minor, you've got the E minor and the E major right there. If you draw, you know, a big circle around those three groups of four chords each. So you've got the C group, which is the B diminish, and the C and the A minor and the G sharp major. And it can be I've written the B diminish funny as with a capital B, because you can use B major or you can use B diminish. Either one. That's kind of a funky notation, but I'm trying to explain both with the same writing. So in the key of C, you could use B major or B diminish for this purpose. Just tell yourself which one you're doing, but when you got your guitar, you got your keyboard, or you're trying to sort of pull a song out of your head really quick, it's easy to look at and go, ah, that's right, I can use B diminish or I can use B major right there, and it'll make stuff easier for you. Of course, you can break these rules. You don't have to stay within those 12 chords, the C group, the G group, and the F group. You don't have to stay within that family. You can move anywhere, but this is just as a starting point. It gives you rules to break, if you know what I mean. That's why we have rules in music, is so you can break them and it sounds artistic. It's rules, not law. So you can play a regular song. There's your C, and there's your F, and there's the G. Well, I'm going to jump over to E major because I see that I can do that right there easily. Let's throw in D sharp and see what it sounds like. Oh, doesn't that sound cool? Or that's C sharp, excuse me, which is also in the family. Let's do D sharp now. I was wrong. Oh, that's kind of a nifty way of going. Oh, that's kind of cool. I like that. Oh, wait, I'll write that down and put that in the song. All these chords sound great next to each other. And just play around with the different combinations. Draw a funky-looking star that goes from the F-sharp to the D minor up to the G to the B diminished major or whatever that is, and then down to the E, and draw a pattern like that and see how it sounds. You know, you can bounce around within this family of chords, the three groups, the G group, the C group, and the F group. You can bounce around within those really easily, and you'll come up with some great chords that work. And you can change to a different family. But the C group, which is, again, the B major diminish, or, you know, whichever one you want to use. And then the C, the A minor, and the G sharp, that's the C group. And the G group is the F sharp major diminish, whatever. And the G major, the E minor, and the D sharp major. And the F group is the E major diminish, the F major, the D minor, and the C sharp. You can do whatever. The relative harmonic minor of C is A minor. So if we take A minor, A natural minor, it's the C scale. That's a C scale, and if you do the same thing and start on A, it's an A natural minor. If you take that A natural minor, you add G sharp to it, then all you've changed is the G to G sharp, and A minor became a harmonic minor. All you do is you take E minor in the key of A minor, and change it to E major, and now it's a harmonic minor. And that's why we add the G sharp, and that's where the harmonic minor comes from. The relative harmonic minor of C major is a harmonic minor, which has an E major in it. So if I say C harmonic minor, I could be referring to a harmonic minor, which is relative to C major. So in the key of C, the harmonic minor is a harmonic minor. Because I think in terms of a key. So sometimes I'll say, yeah, you play the relative harmonic minor of C. Well, that's a harmonic minor, because A is a relative minor. A harmonic minor is a relative harmonic minor. So I'll think in a mode. Sometimes. So I'll change C to harmonic minor. That means A harmonic minor. That doesn't mean C harmonic minor. Because you really don't change a chord. You have to think to work within a key. These are your, you know, you have to don't think that C minor is you lower the E and you lower the A and the B. No, you make C major into a minor by starting the scale in a different place. A minor comes from C major starting on A, not by changing the C sharp to C and changing the F sharp to F, and that's not how you make A minor into A minor. You get A minor by doing C and starting on A. You can take a minor chord by taking a major triad and lowering the third tone, so this is the key of C, which is C, E, and G. You can lower the E to make E flat and you got C minor. You could do that, but when you do diminishes, it doesn't really work. So C diminish is C, E flat, and G flat. That's C diminish. But that's not really how you create C diminish. You don't use C diminish in the key of A minor or C major. In the key of A minor or C major, you use C sharp diminish. So really the way to create a diminish isn't by lowering the third and fifth tone. The way to create a diminish is to raise the first tone and change the name. So in the family or in the key of C or A minor, you don't use C diminish, you use C sharp diminish. And the same with F. You don't use F diminish, you use F sharp diminish. Any tone, you raise the first tone and now you've got to diminish. You won't use G diminish in the key of A minor or the key of C, you'll use G sharp diminish, like this. That's how we arrive at diminishes. So you have to learn to think in terms of what the key actually is. So that's why I've put G sharp in this family of circle of fifths, because when you take the A minor scale and you change it to the harmonic, it's the G sharp that changes. So it can be a useful reminder to look there at that one if you're doing the basic scale and you want to change one note and suddenly do harmonic minor. Yeah, you could play a C scale and it sounds kind of harmonic minorish if you do a C scale with a G sharp in it. So it doesn't matter if you're starting on A, just change the scale, A minor, C major, same notes, from G to G sharp, and there you got the harmonic-ish sound. There's much more to do with this that you can get into, but we'll spare scales and other complexities for now, but that's the reason that G sharp is there, because if you change the E major or the E minor into E major, you've got the harmonic minor, you have the C chord and the major and C major, E major, C major, E, F, G, F, E major, and then you can play C minor, I suppose, if you know. You can do anything you want. You can change C major into C minor if you want. You can find all kinds of ways to change it. But if you look at this new circle of fifths, it'll give you a starting point, and you can just get creative, and you can modify it, and just fidget around and do all the stuff that your teacher would probably tell you not to do in the class, and look at the leaves outside and how artistic it is, and noodle around and be sort of creative and let your mind wander. But this is a good place to start, and it'll really point you in a good direction. That's basically the new circle of fifths. It's really for people that like to fiddle around and try out different chord patterns. It's not for people that want to play from a script. It's for people that want to daydream and they want to write something completely new, and they don't want to have to copy another format of something else. So there you go, the new circle of fifths. I was in a typhoon in 2000, I do believe it was 2010. I was in a typhoon, locked in my friend's house. And I sat down at a piano, and I kicked up this by putting the seventh tone in the circle. Have fun with it. Comment and share your ideas and spread it around and copy it and give it to others and come up with new ideas. Just distinguish. You know, this is what Jesse said, but I'm saying something else. Great. Just don't say something different and then say that I said it. You know, it just, you know. But develop it. I hope that we develop new ideas in music.